All right, you can see my awesome family up here. My name, again, John Girard. I was in this congregation for, it seemed like forever. I'm back at home. Really excited to be here. This past year has been crazy, to say the least. You can see that top left picture. Malachi learned how to ride her bike. And it all started with Andy and Liz. Andy bought her a bike. And he took the training wheels off, and we're like, oh no, what are we going to do? It was an exciting time, but you know, one that just completely trusting that she knew what she was doing. And you know, for me, just to let go and let her kind of have at it. So that was one of those fun times. And then you can see Bristol. When we left, I think she was one. I can't remember exactly for sure how old she was, but you can see her personality coming alive. Just that excitement that she has, that joy. Plus, I like Stacy's face in it. Then the bottom right, this is kind of what FCA is all about. This was at camp in Spearfish, South Dakota. You see these kids get together. It doesn't matter race, denomination, anything. All that matters is Christ. And we just see the love that they have. They just got together. They played. They just loved life. So that in a nutshell has kind of been our last year leading me into Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where we are now. The ministry here in Chadron is blowing up. You wouldn't believe it just to see how God is moving in this ministry that takes place from people in this congregation that are going out. We have huddles. That's the youth group version for those of you that know, but it's inside the schools. So we're having Christ inside the schools. We have it at the college. And you can see this picture on the top. I want to say prior to this year, the most they had was around 20. That first night that I showed up is 35 to 40. Again, people are getting excited. This just gets me pumped up. And then the top left, that would be our huddle up at the high school. Devin Davis and Christy Johnson, they both go weekly on Mondays, serve lunch, and then again, we're presenting Christ inside the schools. It's an amazing opportunity that we have to be inside the school system and to tell people what it's really all about. And then just the games that take place, we're going to start a middle school huddle next week. So we got the groundwork in place to get that going forward too. So ministry in Chadron, like I said, it's blowing up. God's moving. He's doing some big things. We also have the chapels going on and then the booster club. What's awesome is this is your ministry. You want to be involved? You have an opportunity. You just have to talk to Devin. He's kind of our guy that's overseeing everything in Chadron. So you know Devin, he comes up here, he does our announcements. If you're interested, talk to him, get plugged in. The next one, this is what's exciting. We as a staff put on one event a year. It's called Weekend of Champions. There were a record number of attendees this year. We had over 650 athletes from across the panhandle. And then 976 total. And for you, it's like, okay, what do those numbers mean? It was the most we'd ever had. Prior to that, I want to say we were around 600. So we had 50 more than we ever have. From the panhandle, we had 86. So we went up 22. And then the best thing about it, we had 5 huddle leaders from Chadron State College. I'm trying to see where we all are. Do we have 3 in here? So from this church, we have 3 of those huddle leaders that are going there. Again, they are being the light in this dark world. And it's an exciting time that we see ministry taking place. So, sorry, I'm excited and I got a lot of words flowing through, but that's all right. Again, I'm fired up. We're seeing ministry happening. We're seeing lives changed. And that brings me to one of the coolest pictures that I took that weekend. This picture right here, you can see down the aisles. So down all the aisles and then in the front. Those are the athletes that gave their lives to Christ that weekend. That is unbelievable. You need to be fired up when you see that. We saw life change from dead to life. And that's where I'm excited, because of this book that I studied, Ephesians, you're seeing that life change. The gift that we have through Christ. That is what took place here. So when you see this picture, you should be like, yeah, God's moving. This is sweet. This is awesome. Again, we are pumped up because of the ministry that we have, and you guys are partnering with me. I can't thank you enough for that. The partnership that we have with you. You sent me out. And Paul says it best in Philippians, where he says, I give thanks to God every time in my remembrance of you in my prayers. And this, again, paraphrase, so it's not word for word. But I'm always remembering you because of your partnership from the first day till now in the gospel. And that's where it is with this church. I was sent out from here, excited, ready to go, and now we see God moving. So thank you. I appreciate everything that you have done for us. And I'm excited to have the opportunity to be here, to be able to share with you. And you can see the exciting times that are happening here in the state and across the world. So our vision, FCA's vision, is to see the world impacted. That's where we're moving. And it starts where you are. And we see it take place and multiply. Since 2014, we are all over the world now as a ministry. Our connection here in the Midwest is with Eurasia. And they have, right now, their goal is to reach 80,000 coaches to reach the 4 million people in Eurasia. And that's just through athletics. We're given a platform that we now can use to bring Christ to those lost. Sports is that platform. You see it, you roll out a ball, kids come running. They're excited, they're fired up. That's where this ministry is exciting. And again, I'm thankful that you guys partnered with me in that. So as we begin and we get into this sermon, I want to pray. Because I know if I try this on my own, I'm going to fail like crazy. But we know God's good, and He wants you guys to hear something today. Lord, I thank you so much that I have this opportunity to be here and to be a vessel, a conduit that you can speak through. Help people to get excited and to see what we have in place, the ministry that we have, the impact that we make on a daily basis. Help us to see that there is a war going on and that you are our everything. Again, I just ask that you speak through me. Help me to step out of the way. It's not about me at all. It's all about you. And I know you're here in this place. I know you're moving. I know you'll open our hearts. You want us to hear your message? Make it done. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before I get started, I have a story for you. I'll take it back to high school. I was coaching. I wasn't there. I don't know why. I can't remember why. But we had an athlete. This is at state track. Those of you that have run at state track, I mean, it's a big deal. There's a lot of people. The bus pulls up. Getting ready to drop all the kids off, because to park, you got to park days away. So you want to save the athlete's legs. So they pull up, they stop, and this athlete, coach, I don't have my jersey. What am I going to do? Okay, not a big deal if it's just a jersey. You can always borrow somebody else's. But their bib number was on that jersey. Without that identification marker, you don't race. You cannot run. So this was a big deal. They had to go back to the hotel, get the jersey, then she could come back, and then she could finally race. So why I'm saying that, it's a prelude to see what we need to put on. Where this is kind of funny. I'm at Weekend of Champions last week. So you see the picture, and I get a call. John. Guess what? I forgot something again. I'm like, no way, again? I forgot my shoes. You can't run without your shoes. So they go, they buy shoes. But what all this is to show you is where we're going with our text. And we're going to go to the next slide, please. We got Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. You're going to see, next slide, please. You're going to see in this book of Ephesians, God is pinning through Paul the importance of getting up every day and putting on the armor of God. Just like that competitor in the race didn't have their shoes, didn't have their bib number. Without one of these areas, you don't have it, you cannot stand. You cannot take the attack that you're going to be under. So again, God's pinning this through the Apostle Paul. It's written to the church at Ephesus. And this is one of those letters that he wrote while he's in prison. And I know you're like, oh, cool, he's in prison. No. Like, he's in prison. And he's writing this book to encourage others. I don't know how we'd be if we're in jail. But are you going to be writing somebody, oh yeah, life's good. He's penning this while he's in jail. And it's written to strengthen the believers in Ephesus. That's what we want to see here. The strength that we have in Christ. Again, I studied Ephesians. It was a blast getting into God's Word. It was just exciting as I read and I could see His Word come alive. You see in chapter 1, God's blessings, the blessings that we have in Him because of the redemption from His blood. Whose blood? Christ's blood. Apart from Christ's blood, we have nothing. So we see that those blessings that we have because of what Jesus did for us. And then you see Paul's praying for the people in Ephesus. 1:17, he says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. So he's wanting people to see the knowledge of Him. That's what he's praying for. And how does he demonstrate his power? How did Christ demonstrate his power? Resurrection. Christ died for our sins, but don't leave him in the grave. Again, he demonstrated his power by raising from the dead. That's power. I don't know where you guys are, but that's powerful. And we have that same power inside of us. That should get you excited. So, chapter 2, we see how we were dead in our trespasses. So we're dead. Because of our sins, we have nothing. You will never be good enough. Never. No matter what you do, you will not be good enough. If it's not for what Jesus did on the cross for us. We see Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. So we're saved because of what Jesus did for us. And then Paul, he's excited. He's like, hey, we're united now. We're united. Paul, again, the missionary to the Gentiles, those that weren't Jews, those that had no hope, they had nothing until Jesus came. He's saying, we're now united because of Christ. You now can be in heaven because of what Christ did on the cross for you. So he's writing this. He's talking about the unity that we have and then the new life that we have in Christ. Now we get to Ephesians 6. So he encourages, he strengthens, he uplifts the believers. He's uplifting them. And then he says, so if you have this in your Bible, you can go to this. We're going to read this now. Go to Ephesians 6:10. While you're flipping through to Ephesians 6, chapter 6, big number, chapter 6, verse 10. again, Paul's right and he's encouraging. He's saying, hey, this is what's happening because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. This is where we are. He says, finally, finally. So he said a whole bunch of stuff before that, and he's saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, with which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit and with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that my words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Lord, it's just amazing when we can get into your word and we see how you come alive. The stance that we have and we can now take because we have victory in you. It's awesome. Again, open our eyes to the revelation that we have. We are at war. This is something that we need to realize. Whether you believe it or not, there is a war that's going on. We think about, oh yeah, it's overseas. Oh yeah, it's in Afghanistan. Oh, that's the only time we need to pray for our soldiers. We're at war on a daily basis. There's a battle that's going on right now. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's taking place. This isn't just a head knowledge. Just to say, I'm good enough. I'm a Christian. We need to live it out. Okay, it's time for believers to recognize we have an enemy. Who's the enemy? First, we have to figure out who we're fighting against. Who is our enemy? And where's this battle taking place? Think about it. We can't win the fight by ourselves. But like Devin prayed earlier, we have victory. We can't win the fight, but he can. Because of what he did on the cross for us, we have victory. He will fight for us. And that's the exciting part that we just saw in this text. We have to realize that we are strengthened by the Lord. It's the only place we get power. Now, what power was that? What power is it? How can we win this fight? The same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives inside of us. We have that same power that one day we will be with Christ. Apart from him, there is no power. So again, where's our strength coming from? Where's that power coming from? We need to recognize that we need the Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ inside of us. Apart from that, again, we do not stand. Now, you're asking, okay, what is this spiritual war that's going on? Where is this taking place? And we get a glimpse of it. In the Old Testament, this is in Daniel 10. And again, this is kind of the John paraphrase, so I want you to take it. You study it on your own when you go back. Daniel 10. So we see it opens up. Daniel, he's been praying. He's been praying and fasting. So he's not eating. He's in prayer. He's waiting to hear from God. So just think of that agony that he's sitting in. He's praying for 3 weeks. He's like, God, I need to hear from you. I need to hear this. And then in verse 10, an angel shows up. He's like, all right, what's going on? Then you see the angel say, your prayer was heard day one. And you're like, he's like, what? Wait a second. My prayer was heard day one. Why am I still fasting? Why am I waiting? It was heard day one. God sent me to share this message with you. On my way, I was in battle. God heard your prayer day one. He was in battle. He had to go back for reinforcements, come back, take care of business, so that he could get that message to Daniel. Satan didn't want Daniel to get this information, and he tried to prevent it at all costs. This is taking place right now. So maybe that's why we don't hear our prayers. Maybe that's why we aren't seeing this. We want to hear from God. But yet, we aren't agonizing. We aren't on our knees in prayer, waiting to hear. We need to be prayer warriors. And with that, do you realize who we're talking to? When we are in prayer, do you understand who we're talking to? Okay, you're like, oh, if this was like Danny Woodhead on stage, I'd be like, yeah, Danny, woo! Oh, it's LeBron! No, we're talking to God, the creator of the universe. When we pray, we are talking to the one and only. You should be fired up when you're talking to God. Shaky, trembling, just like you would if you saw that superhero that you think is in your mind. I wish I could get their autograph. You have a direct line of communication to the one and only. Okay, sorry. Tangent, but that was exciting. Who are we praying to, okay? So spiritual warfare, it's taking place. There's something going on. We need to recognize this. And what do we do about it? There's a war that's taking place. What do we do about it? We have to put on the armor of God. What does this mean, armor of God? We read it. We have in verse 14. The belt of truth. The belt of truth. As a soldier, the belt of truth held everything together. Without the belt of truth, they had nothing. So what is the truth for us? The Word of God. It's the Word of God. Satan, the father of lies, is going to tell us every lie that he can think of. He's deceptive. And that's why we have to put on the belt of truth that holds it all together, God's Word. We need to know the Word of God in order to stand for the truth. Then we see the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, why do we need the breastplate of righteousness? Shields our heart. The righteousness of Christ. He is perfect, we are not. He is guarding our heart. So we have the truth, God's Word, Christ's righteousness to protect our heart. And then we're putting on the gospel of peace. That's our sandals. This is essential. We need to be fitted with the sandals of peace. And then you see we put on the helmet of salvation, or the shield of faith first. Shield of faith. Why is this important? Think about like the movie, the 300 movie where they have their swords and you see all the arrows raining down. That's their protection. And as I was studying this, it was kind of exciting to see. The shield of faith, the shield back then was huge. It covered the entire body. It was like a door. So why a door? Why is this important? Christ says he's the door to salvation. But he's also the door to protect. The shield of faith. Our faith in Christ is what protects us from all those flaming arrows. So what happens when we have those flaming arrows come our way? Boom, you put up the shield. You block everything that is coming at you. If you don't know how to answer it, you put up that shield of faith and then you seek the truth. When I'm getting hit, when we're getting hit with all these arrows, we know that God is good. We know that he died for our sins. We know that we believe in him. And we stand behind that. And then we go seek the answer. Don't get lost in all that Satan's trying to do with the lies that he's trying to tell you. Everything he's saying, he's throwing these arrows at you. But we put up the shield of faith. And then we put on the helmet of salvation to protect our mind. Again, I just talked about it. We know we're saved because of what Christ did on the cross for us. We're guarding our mind. We're not letting everything else come in. Now again, the armor. You have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet, the gospel of the peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation. You're like, well, how do we attack? Everything that we just heard was defense. What am I going to do now? Where do we go with this? He says to take a stand. Everything that we've had so far is for defense. It's all covering the front of our body. Says nothing about your back. You turn and run, you're on your own. Sorry. He says, take a stand. Boom, we're ready. When that attack comes, we put on the armor of God, we take a stand. That's when we have victory, we take a stand. Now, how do we fight? We have two weapons for offense. The sword of the Spirit. Again, God's word. If you are not in this, you have nothing. Nothing. You see, the sword of the Spirit was used in Revelation to give victory. You see, Christ used this when he was tempted in the desert. He's using Scripture. And then you see when he brings victory in Revelation. Now, what else can we do? So we have God's word. We can be in prayer. Remember who we're praying to. We need to pray that our efforts aren't lost. We need to make prayer a response in every situation. We need to pray for all the believers, like Devin just did when we were talking about the people in Paris. We're praying for people. Now I asked you earlier, who are we fighting and where is he? We're fighting Satan. And if you want to think that Satan is, he's just down at the bars. He's in the strip clubs. He's on the red light district. I can tell you he's not. Why would he be fighting his own? He's outside the door. He's here right now, so you don't pay attention. So you're sleeping. You don't want to hear it. He doesn't want you to hear God's word. Where the battle is where the gospel is preached. You need to be in prayer for Pastor Mike as he gets up every Sunday and presents the gospel. Satan does not want you to hear that. That's where the war is. He doesn't want people to come to Christ. You saw that picture where all the people gave their lives to Christ? Satan didn't want that to happen. Be in prayer. Satan is on attack. We need to be ready. He's coming after you. In that moment that you're weak, that you're lost, you feel like you have no hope. What do? Put on the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. We have our feet with the gospel of peace. We put up the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. We take a stand. He's coming. He attacked Christ. He's coming for you. Oops. Take a stand. Our full armor of God. These are the tools God has given us through which we are victorious. This is the only way that we can overcome Satan's attack. When you're depressed, you're down and out, you have nothing, how do you overcome it? Bam, right there. You get into God's word. You put on the armor of God. We need to do this every day. Be in God's word. Be in prayer. And I love it how Paul ends it. You see, he says, with every, verse 19, pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known the boldness, the mystery of the gospel. For I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may be bold enough to speak him as I should. We need to be bold and speak Christ. Put on the armor of God. Take your stand. Speak fearlessly for Christ. Be in the word. And pray. It's what it's all about. It's what he calls us to. Take a stand. God, we thank you so much. Thank you for this message. Help us to remember to put on the armor of God. Apart from it, we cannot stand. But with it, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet, the gospel of the peace, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, fight with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in prayer. We can take a stand. And we are victorious no matter what. Help us to realize that there is a battle going on. And remember that this battle isn't against people. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against Satan and his attack. We need to be mindful of who we're fighting. Thank you so much for what you did on the cross for us. Apart from that, we have nothing. We thank you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.